Is that our desire? That's his desire. Amen. He wants to take us higher. Amen. That's what restoration is about. Bringing us back into our God-given position. Amen. Somebody say praise the Lord. I think some of you are happy tonight. I think the joy bells are ringing in different areas, and they should be ringing all over the building. And we trust that, you know, I have a friend that actually she was an employee that I worked with, and then she worked for me for many years at Raytheon, and she, real nice, her last name's Baker also, so no relation, but the church that she attends, I believe it's Episcopal or something on that order. Anyway, she plays bells, right? And that's been her thing for ever since I've known her. And they play bells for this and play bells for that, you know. Well, we don't have to play bells, right? The bells are ringing. Amen. The joy bells are ringing. We don't have to manufacture it. We don't have to work it up. Nothing against somebody playing bells, but whether we have a handbell or not, the bells are ringing. Amen. Amen. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Thank you, musicians. God bless you. Hallelujah. And the rain's falling. Yes. Praise the Lord. We're going to go back to Daniel chapter 10, verses 10 through 13 once again, and Daniel 10, 19 through 20. Hallelujah. And behold, an hand touched me, which set me upon my knees and upon the palms of my hands. An hand touched me, which set me on my knees and upon the palms of my hands. So that's, you know, here. And he said unto me, O Daniel, a man greatly beloved. How'd you like to hear that? You are hearing it. It's in his word. Understand the words that I speak unto thee, and stand upright. For unto thee am I now sent. And when he had spoken this word unto me, I stood trembling. Then said he unto me, Fear not, Daniel. You always know that it's a visitation from the Lord or from one of his angels when you hear fear not. The enemy always wants to cause you to fear. But if it's a genuine visitation from God, fear not. From the first day that you set your heart to understand and to chasten thyself before thy God, thy words were heard, and I am come for thy words. In other words, I'm come to make the words that you brought forward. I'm here to fulfill those words, to bring them to pass. But the prince of the king of Persia withstood me 21 days. But lo, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, and I remained there with the kings of Persia. Verse 19, and said, O man greatly beloved, fear not. Peace be unto thee. Be strong, yea, be strong. When he had spoken unto me, I was strengthened and said, Let my Lord speak, for thou hast strengthened me. You know, even the Lord Jesus himself was tempted, and then afterwards visited by angels, and he was strengthened. Amen. Do you think this still happens?
Yes.
Then said he, Knowest thou wherefore I come unto thee? Do you know why I've come to you? Now will I return to fight with the prince of Persia, but I just came down here to let you know The battle's raging. Here's what's going on. We've got the A-team. I will now return to fight with the prince of Persia. And when I am gone forth, lo, the prince of Grecia shall come. The Lord add his blessing to the reading of the word. Let's bow our heads tonight. Father, as we come back together into your presence, Lord, we, not that we've departed from your presence, but we've come specifically, Lord, to surrender ourselves completely, to not allow anything to distract us. And what a privilege and an honor it is. And Lord, I pray with all my heart, from the depths of my soul, I pray that things don't have to get hard for some people to learn to appreciate what they have an opportunity to take a part of each and every time that we come together. It's unfortunate that sometimes that's what it takes to cause people to realize what they have. They have to lose something to realize what it was. Sometimes I know in my own case that I can take my health for granted, and then something will come to afflict me, and I'll go into a battle. And it's in those times that I appreciate all the times of health that you've given to me and provided for me. And I suppose, Lord, it's just how we are as human beings at times. But Lord, let this not, as our brother was praying earlier, we want certain things to be common, but not in the sense we don't want it to be common in that we take it for granted. We're common in that we don't look upon it as supernatural, but we want things to be common in that we want to see it manifested regularly. We want to we want your supernatural presence amongst us and to be vindicated amongst us commonly, if we could put it that way, Lord. I don't believe that we would ever take your presence for granted. I've heard people say before that's why the supernatural doesn't happen more often, is because it becomes too common to the people. It's never become common to me, Lord, and I don't believe that it becomes common to your children. Lord, it takes our breath away at times. It causes us to rededicate ourselves. It causes us to keep our focus. It causes us to press on. It's encouraging. It's strengthening. And it's promised by you in your word. So, Lord, we just ask once again that you'd minister to each and every heart here tonight, Lord, whether we're in the building or we'll be listening in. We ask that you would visit each and every one of us, Lord, and confirm your word. And, Father, we surely give you all praise and honor and glory. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen, amen. You may be seated. So just to recap a little bit from this morning, because I want to make sure that we've got our foundation laid before we go any further with this thought. And just to remind you, this is Kingdoms at War, and this would be part two. So we saw this morning that there was a change in dispensations that was fixing to take place on the earth, and we were given a peek at what was taking place in the spiritual realm before a change took place in the natural realm. And that's a pattern that is established by God in his word. And we know that whatever takes place in the natural is always preceded by something first occurring in the spirit realm. In the message questions and answers, as we read this morning, Brother Bram said, now let's take back to Cain. If Cain was the son of Adam, which was the son of God, where did that evil come from? The first thing when he was born, he hated, he was a murderer, he was jealous. Now, you can't tell me that came from God, because it didn't. And now, take the nature of his daddy, the very start in the beginning, Lucifer, and he was, in the beginning, he was jealous of Michael. What started the whole trouble? How many knows that? And Cain was the nature of his father, which he was jealous of his brother and slew him. That nature could not come out of the pure seed. It had to come out of this perverted stream. And notice Cain as soon as he was born, and then Abel was born after him, and then she conceived by Adam, and he knew her, and she brought forth the son Abel. And Abel was a type of Christ. When Abel was killed, Seth took his place, death, burial, resurrection of Christ in type. So Lucifer was jealous of Michael. Recall, there were two overshadowing angels, Lucifer and Michael. And we know that Lucifer was kind of on the same level, except he could not create. And he was the most beautiful. He was an overshadowing angel. He was actually created to be a protector of the word. Because these two magnificent beings were overshadowing the throne, overshadowing the ark, overshadowing the word. If you wanted to have an audience with God, you had to come through Lucifer. Right. He was a beautiful, he was righteous in all of his ways. He was, when he was created, he had everything, every ability, except he could not create. And yet that wasn't enough for him. He looked over at Michael and said, I want what he has instead of what I have. So there was a heavenly kingdom that was under the dominion of Michael that included other archangels and lesser angels, as we saw this morning. And we know that there is a hierarchy or a rank or order in the kingdom of heaven, just as there are here in the earthly kingdoms. We see things foreshadowed in the natural. I mean, even a king and a queen, sometimes we get the idea that that was man's idea. No, that's actually God's idea, and it's being shown in shadow form here on the earth with man. So we know that the heavenly kingdom suffered a split, and a war took place as a result of this split. Satan, Lucifer, pulling angels over to follow after him. And we know that the conditions that caused this war were A, Lucifer's pride, and B, Lucifer's jealousy of Michael and of his position. Oh, friends, we should never, never, ever compare ourselves with one another and amongst ourselves. It's not wise. Whatever God has ordained for you, that's the right thing for you. We shouldn't look at what we have and say, oh, why can't I have this? Or why didn't I give that? Or I got gypped. That's the devil. Satan should have been content. And Paul told us that the secret that he found in this life was to whatever situation that he was in, to be content, recognizing that God's in control. So notice, all of these angelic beings started out in the same message, if you will. But Lucifer was not satisfied with the message, and he was not satisfied with his God-given position in heavenly places. And we know that the fall didn't take place immediately after Lucifer was created, because the Bible tells us that Lucifer was perfect in all his ways until iniquity was found in him. Now, friends, you can't make that statement, he was perfect in all of his ways, unless it was demonstrated that he was perfect in all of his ways. If it was only demonstrated in part, then one could easily conclude that, well, he wasn't perfect in all of his ways because he did this or that. But no, there was a period of time when everything was on the up and up. There was a period of time when he was walking perfectly in his position. He was walking perfectly in the order that God created him to walk in. And it was good. But then the fall took place. Once he exalted himself in his own thinking above Michael. Notice it wasn't even an act yet, and yet a fall had taken place. He had exalted himself in his own thinking. In fact, Isaiah tells us, you have said in your heart, I will exalt myself above the stars of God. So once he exalted himself in his own thinking above Michael, who is Christ, and above the invisible and eternal God, then things began to change in church. And as we saw this morning, Satan and his angels were cast out of heaven for this rebellion, and they were cast down here to the earth. And yet they are still in a dimension that's just outside of the ones that you and I contact with our natural senses. Now, that's the problem, is that we We have trouble relating to the fact that that other dimension's right here. And the reason why we struggle with that as human beings is because we don't have, our natural senses don't contact that unless the Lord intervenes in a certain way. So, but just because our natural senses were not formed to contact that other dimension doesn't mean that it isn't here. Amen? So, of course, once he was cast down here to the earth, then the war that started in heaven continued on as Satan found a way to bring that war into human flesh and continue that battle. And of course, the battle moved to human flesh where reason was exalted over faith. And then man fell from his God-given position also, just as Lucifer had fallen from his. And the battle has been raging on in human flesh ever since. And yet, ironically, it's not a flesh and blood battle. It's just that the flesh is the battleground. And because it's not a flesh and blood battle, as we saw this morning, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are spiritual. We have been equipped, we have been positionally placed, and we have been empowered to defeat our spiritual enemies that we face here in the end time. And friends, we are facing things all at once that nobody has had to face all at once in any other age at any other time. But we will never overcome our enemy using our reasoning, using our intellect, using our emotion, using our human might or human power. We overcome by allowing the word to manifest in us, giving us a testimony as a result, and by the life of the blood of the Lamb. So the church of the kingdom of heaven has been slugging it out with the kingdom of darkness now for 2,000 years. Jesus said, I came to cast Satan down and to destroy his works, and I came to usher in a new kingdom. That kingdom has come and has been amongst us for the last 2,000 years, and it's caused a war, and it continues to cause a war. And the elect in every age had to overcome the kingdom of darkness in every age, and they have been elected, and they have been equipped, and they have been positionally placed by God to do so in each age. God knowing what the powers would be that would come against them and knowing what they needed to overcome. But the elect in this last age, they face every demonic force of other ages, plus the demons that have been released in this age against the natural and the spiritual bride. And in that, I'm talking about the demons that were released by the River Euphrates. It's spoken about in Revelations chapter 9, the 200,000 demons. And Brother Branham tells us that those were the demons that were on the scene in Nebuchadnezzar's day. And those were the demons that assisted Alexander the Great and some of these other great empires. And that's how they were able at young ages to conquer the world. They had all these demons on their side. And those very same demons have been held for a period of time, but they've been loosed again in our day. So every demon that anybody had to face through the church ages, we're facing tonight, plus 200,000 or 200 million shock troops, special troops, experienced, trained, with victories under their belt. So in order to overcome every demon power, in order to overcome every temptation, friends, I'm glad that it's impossible. I'm glad that it's utterly impossible. Because if it somehow seemed sort of possible, I would have tried to do it. And I might have even been deceived into thinking that I was getting somewhere. But it's not possible. I can't do this. So in order to overcome every demon power, every temptation, and even death itself, We need a greater angel in this age to come to our aid. If we've got all of this that's arrayed against us, we need help. And we need a power that's greater than any other age. And there's a heavenly angel that, as we know, that accompanies each messenger to the church in each church age. But to defeat death and to bring forth the resurrection for those that sleep and to bring a body change to those that are alive and remain, that requires an even mightier angel to come than one of the angels to the seven church age messengers. And that angel is none other than Christ himself, who has descended and come amongst us with an open book in his hand, bringing to us the fullness of the word, saying, here, this is what you need to overcome in this age. And he is, friends, he's the one that is above all powers. There is no greater power. There is no higher power. There is no other angel. Lucifer himself will bow before his feet. Every knee will bow. Every tongue will confess. That includes Lucifer. He's the one that is above all other powers. He's the King of Kings. He is the Lord of Lords. He is the Amen of God. He is the so be it. He amens his own word. Hallelujah. And the full word will defeat every devil. It'll defeat any devil. It'll defeat all of the fallen angels anytime, any place, and under any circumstance. And the church says, but to do that, friends, we first must know who we are in Christ. And we must know what our God-given positions are. And we must know what our inheritance is. And we must walk in it. When we come before the enemy knowing that we have more authority than those fallen angels, than those fallen spirits, they have to obey our orders. Now, friends, I'll just be honest with you. I hope I'm always honest, but I'll be open with you tonight and tell you I didn't have that assurance as a Baptist. I didn't have that assurance as a nominal Christian. When we prayed, nobody was really sure what prayer would be answered and what prayer wouldn't be answered. And if it wasn't answered, we say, well, I guess it wasn't the Lord's will. Right? Well, how can you even... That's Brother Lucas, that's something that troubled me in the nominal church. I couldn't be sure of anything except the devil. So... how can I stand? How can I pray for somebody and say, devil, come out? How can I pray for somebody and say, look, that thing has to leave? How can I do that if I don't know if it has to leave or not? You get where I'm coming from? So I must know what my authority is. I must know what power is on my side. I must know what my position is, as well as these other demons and what their place and positions are. Amen. So when we come before our enemy knowing that we have the authority, that we have more authority than they do, they have to obey our orders. Do you realize that tonight? And I don't have to yell at them. They can hear me quite clearly. And they're not wearing hearing aids. They don't need earwax removal. A lot of times, friends, that's just, if we're not careful, we'll work something up, and then we'll get people hooked on that. We'll get people where they don't, or they want so-and-so to pray because so-and-so yells, and so it must be God, and something's going to happen. Come on, friends. Don't look at me strange. Let me say things as they are. Okay? This is not a flesh and blood battle. So if you get somebody in your mind and think, well, you're picking on somebody, you're the one with the dirty mind, not me. We're in a battle. And you must recognize these things. I can remember, let me give you an example. We used to preach for, have a part, Lord bless us to have a part in the annual meetings out in San Luis Obispo for a number of years, and there was this one sister in particular that had a certain need, and so she came up for prayer, and I can sense whether there's faith there. I can sense whether somebody has confidence. If they don't have confidence, you know, if somebody's just trying, you know, they're sampling, they're kicking the tires. Well, let me see if this will work or not. You can pick that up. And you know that, okay, well, I'll do what you asked me to do, but I don't have confidence that anything's going to happen because you don't, right? And so a sister asked me to pray for a certain thing, and I had confidence that I was, I had the authority, that I had the position, and that spirit knew that I knew what I was talking about. But the sister's faith wasn't there. And then the next time I see her, she says, "Brother so-and-so came by and prayed for her." And she got in my face about it. "Brother so-and-so came by and prayed for her, and this took place," you know, as if his prayer meant more than my prayer, or, you know. And I'm thinking, where did this understanding come from amongst us? Right? It doesn't matter, friends. The deacons praying for you have the same authority that your pastor does tonight, that the ministers do. Yeah. Amen. They're elders of the church. They have the same authority. There are sons of God sitting here tonight that know that they have the same authority. And they may not have a position in the church, but they do have a position in the body of Christ. We have that authority. And we must know that. And not make it a personality or a level of emotion. Or I bring this up because this sister was actually angry at me, and she was actually trying to, quote unquote, put me in my place. She was actually trying to tell me there's nothing to your prayers. And I'm thinking, you know, I'm sorry, I can't help you. I don't know where you got that thinking. I don't know where that kind of thinking comes from. If a donkey came up and God spoke through it, would you receive it? God's not a respecter of persons. He's a respecter of his word. And you must also be a respecter of his word and a respecter of the positions, a respecter of the authority. God will move. And the devils will move. Again, from Kinsman Redeemer, Brother Branham says, "Now, sons and daughters, who has the most power before God? What is an angel? An angel is a servant." Is that right? They're his servants. What are you? His son and daughter. Who has the most power in heaven then? A sinner that's been saved by grace? Or an archangel that's standing by his right side? The sinner that has been saved by grace has more authority in heaven than the archangel that stood by his side without sin. Because he's a son. A son has more authority than the servant, of course. You have more authority here tonight than Gabriel does. We're thinking, "Oh, I'd sure like to have a visit from Gabriel." Gabriel's here to serve you. He's not here to serve himself, and we're not here to serve them. These angels are ministering spirits. They are sent to serve God's children. And you have more authority than they do. Oh, it's time for the church to wake up. He says, "Oh, we forget what we are. We forget many times what made us what we are. After we become what we are, then we forget how we got here." Let's don't forget, friends. Let's don't forget what manner of a man that we once were. Don't forget what God brought you from. Hallelujah. So every angel has a certain position. Every angel has a certain authority that's been given to him by God, whether fallen or not. But a born-again son or daughter of God has more authority than even an archangel that never fell and never will fall. The problem comes, friends, when we fail to recognize who we are in Christ, because we won't take all that belongs to us until we do see ourselves in the Word. You must see yourself in there. You must recognize, "I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me." But we are taking more day by day, and we will take all that has been given to us before this is over. You know, I like to hike. Just something that's in me. It's a pastime that I enjoy. It's what my dad used to do as well. It's kind of in our DNA, I suppose. And when I'm on a hike, I'm on a mission, right? I'm enjoying the things along the way, but I've got a goal in mind. And I'm not satisfied unless we reach the goal. And if any of you have been with us, you know how we just keep going, you know? I'm not the best hiker. I'm not the strongest. I'm not the most energetic, but I am persistent. And I have my eye on a goal. And even if we take the wrong trail, does that happen? Uh-huh. Well, Brother Branham said, follow your pastor. I ain't following you. Even when we take the wrong trail and discover that we're on the wrong path, we don't give up. We say, okay, well, where's the right path? You know, we'll find it somehow. And then we have some interesting stories to tell afterwards. I almost died. but if you're with me on a hike and you want to sit down and just hang out and not go on, I'm going to get after you, right? And not get after you in a negative way, not get after you in a bad way, but I'm going to say, come on. You can't stay here. Keep going. We're not done. We haven't reached the goal. Keep going. Keep going. Friends, and it's the same thing here in the church. We haven't reached the goal. But we know that we're on the right path. And don't worry, we didn't take a wrong turn somewhere. We are on the right path because He's the one that's guiding us. He's the one that's leading us. Amen. And we're making progress. How many believes that tonight? Somebody got their alert warning going off? Don't you hate that? It's like, oh man, I never would have figured out it was raining if that hadn't went off. We are taking more day by day. And before we get out of here, Brother Henry, we're going to take all that has been given to us. Amen. Don't be discouraged, Brother Henry. I don't care what happened. I don't care what's happening. I don't care what the physical realm is telling us. We have a possession. We have an inheritance. Claims have been made on our behalf. And we're just going to keep saying it and keep saying it and keep saying it and grabbing it and walking in it and walking in it, because we've got more ground to take. Because even the elements that make up our bodies, guess what? They're going with us, and you're taking them with you. You're not going to leave them behind. Somebody say praise the Lord. Ephesians 6:12. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities. We do wrestle. We are in a battle, but we're wrestling not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. So we are warring against rulers of darkness of this world. We are warring against the prince of darkness. And we are warring against great spiritual wickedness. And friends, we are living in the darkest of all the church ages. And we are facing demons in this age that the other ages never even knew existed. Those 200 million demons that were released, they weren't released in any other age. Till this age. But God knows what He's doing. The body wasn't ready. Now it is. Amen. The lid was lifted off the bottomless pit of the fifth dimension, and 200 million demons that ruled in the days of Nebuchadnezzar are now loosed once again. The first thing they were... The first purpose of them being released was to drive natural Israel back into her homeland. That's been accomplished. Now it's to drive spiritual Israel, which is the bride, into her promised land, and our promised land is the Word. It's to drive us into the Word. Friends, that's your only safety. That's the only place that God will fight for you. That's the only place where your assured victory is in your land of your inheritance, which is the Word. So Brother Branham talked about seven dimensions, which we'll just briefly touch on here tonight. And we know that the first three dimensions are the dimension of space, the dimension of time, and the dimension of substance or matter. And then light is actually in the fourth dimension. The fourth dimension, if you will, is electromagnetic waves, which is the field of study that I worked in for many years, radio frequency waves and higher frequency waves from that, and light. Light is an electromagnetic wave that's a much higher frequency, but it's all the same. It's the fourth dimension is where visions are seen, and the fifth dimension is described as the realms of the lost souls that died in sin. And it is also the place where fallen angels currently reside. The fifth dimension once held all who had died, and it was once divided. There was a lower portion of it. There was a gulf between the upper and lower division. In the lower division were the souls that were reserved for judgment, and the upper division were the souls of the righteous. But when the price was paid at Calvary, Jesus descended into that fifth dimension and took all of the Old Testament saints with him, took them out of that dimension. They don't have to hear the screaming and crying and the rich rulers saying, send somebody to give me a drink of water. They don't hear that no more. They were taken by Jesus into the sixth dimension, where they now rest under the altar, and they are in the bosom of Christ, if you will. The seventh dimension is where Spirit God dwells. It's where the altar is. It's where the Father's throne is. He is currently seated in his Father's throne. He will be seated in his own throne during the millennium, the throne of David. But right now, he's seated in his Father's throne, which is also the altar of sacrifice, where he's interceding on our behalf. So it's where our intercessor is at. And it's also, if you can receive it here tonight, that in that seventh dimension, that's where you came from before becoming flesh. You didn't pre-exist in some kind of form, but if that's where God's at, that's where his thoughts are. And if that's where his thoughts are and his thoughts are eternal, that's where you were. And you're going back there one day. Brother Branham wanted to go to that dimension when he went to the sixth dimension. He went beyond the curtain of time. He went to the sixth dimension, visited the saints of the ages that were waiting for the body change and the resurrection. He said, I want to see Jesus. They said, you can't see him right now. Why not? Well, he's at a higher place. He's in the seventh dimension. He alone is interceding on behalf of the church. But one day we will have a body like his. The intercessory work will be finished. The claiming work will take place. Full redemption will take place. And we will go with him into that dimension. So if you are born again of his Spirit, friends, then part of you right now, actually two parts of you right now, are in the sixth dimension. And yet, there's all a whole bunch of you that's in the first, second, third dimension, and part of you in the fourth dimension. You see, your soul is in the sixth dimension, and your theophany is also in the sixth dimension. Your heavenly representation. We have an angel that has been assigned to us, that's watching over us, that beholdeth the face of the Father, if you will, not literally in the presence of in the seventh dimension, but that has been assigned to you, and it's none other than your theophany. That's the part of you that is ordained to cast down principalities, to cast down powers, to cast down rulers of darkness in this world, and spiritual wickedness in high places. And it is preordained. Nobody can stop it. It's going to take place. It's what you've been placed here on the earth now to do. That's why you're here. And God's going to use you to do that. And the church says. There are people tonight, friends, that are anointed. They aren't going to be anointed. They are anointed to defeat every demon power in this age and then take a rapture. Because death is the final enemy that we face. And it's the chief of all the of all the demonic powers that we face is death. That's what everyone fears. So in order to bring death under our feet, every other power has to be brought under our feet first. And the church says, these demon spirits, they are rulers, and they have positions, and they have power. But what have we to fear? He says to us tonight, friends, fear not. You see, the kingdom of darkness has ruled for thousands of years here on the earth. If there hadn't been a fall, there wouldn't have been a kingdom of darkness ruling. There would have been sons of God ruling. But the kingdom of darkness has ruled for thousands of years here on the earth, and it continues on for a season, even though it was birthed out of a division. Brother Branham tells us in the message Victory Day how that every nation has a spirit that's over it. He says, and then those spirits get jealous of another spirit. You know why there's wars? Because there's spirits over Russia that are jealous of spirits over America. And vice versa, right? And they are the ones that cause the wars. And what do? They cause war. That's right. They're the ones that are stirring up all the trouble. Brother Brand tells us that every hurricane that forms out in the Atlantic, he said it starts out in the mountains somewhere in Africa and then ends up out in the Atlantic and forms. Satan is the prince of the power. He's the one that causes those things. People like to blame God. Oh, God's doing it and it's judgment. God's not forming tornadoes and hurricanes. When Jesus went out to the bow of the ship, he said, Lord, stop it. No, he said, peace, be still. Satan was trying to sink the boat. And him in it. But he showed, you know, I'm the master of the wind, not you. So the foundation of the kingdom of darkness is jealousy. The subjects of the kingdom of darkness, think about this, friends. We're not going to talk about this for too long, but let's dwell on it for just a few moments. The subjects of the kingdom of darkness, they growl and they bite at each other. There's nothing dirtier than politics. And you know what's behind politics? Demon powers. But the kingdom from above is of one mind and one accord, and there's no division, and there's no confusion, and there's no jealousy. There's no growling. And you and I have been placed here to see that the kingdom of darkness falls even further than it has already fallen. So let's look at the account of in the book of Luke of what took place before the crucifixion. Darkness had to press against the word that was manifested in flesh in order to prove that the word was true, to vindicate it, to manifest it. And it also, the darkness also had to crucify that flesh, that sacrifice. Luke 22, verse 53. Jesus said, when I was daily with you in the temple, You stretch forth no hands against me, but this is your hour and the power of darkness. This is your hour and the power of darkness. So this pattern is repeating again in our day, friends. It is their hour, once again, to what? To come against the word that is made flesh. And it will come against the word that is made flesh to manifest that word. But it's also darkness squeezed together, and it's pressing against the light, which squeezes together. So it's bringing a separation, which is a good thing. And it must take place before the rapture. Friends, the gray area has to, it can't continue. The forces have to stand over here or stand over there. This is right, that's wrong. This vomit in the middle that's sort of right, maybe, I feel, I think. That battleground has to be cleared. Darkness has to be squeezed over here. Light has to be squeezed over there. Any darkness that was in that light has to be squeezed out. And any light that was in that darkness is going to be squeezed out. And notice where the pressure was coming from. It was coming from darkness that once walked in the light. So don't ever get in your mind that it's some hell's angel, some devil with a pitchfork that never had any association with religion. Satan had a part in the message. And he's the chief persecutor. And so the persecution will always come from those that once walked in the light. The power of darkness must rise against you. Now, I'm telling you this because you need to expect it. I'm telling you this because you need to not get worried about it. Not get upset, not wonder, this is pressing against me. Did I do something wrong? Am I going to be defeated? No, it must happen. Amen. And it's a good thing. I didn't say it felt good, but it must happen. Because the power of darkness must rise against you and me, and it must, think of it this way, it must press you and I out of the world. Jesus said it was the hour for the power of darkness. But we know that it was also the hour for the power of heaven. So look at how darkness is described in the New Testament. John chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. God condescending. The same was in the beginning with God. He's still Spirit God, but now He's condescended and He's the Word. All things were made by him, by the word. And without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life. And the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness. And the darkness comprehended it not. So notice, the light is shining, but the darkness can't perceive the light. Isn't that strange? The darkness cannot understand the light, or figure it out. What am I saying? Darkness, you can give the message to darkness, and darkness will say, what's this? I don't see anything. What are you talking about? Why are you so excited about it? What's so special about this? How do I know it's true? Do you see tonight, friends, why the message was sent to turn our hearts and not turn our minds? The mind cannot comprehend the light. It's the heart. John chapter 3, verse 19. And in this, and this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. Friends, if you're doing something wrong, you don't want everybody to see it. If that's why bars and different places, that's why they turn down the lights and turn up the sound, and they try to disorient you. They try to get you to where you can't see what it is that you're doing. Because the deeds that are taking place are evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light. People that are lying, oh, they hate it when you expose them in a lie. You can usually tell when somebody's lying because they get so angry at you. And they almost get you to believe that you're being cruel. And that, you know, but they growl, they bite. That's a pretty good indication that they're lying. They hate light. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deed should be reproved. In other words, he doesn't want his deeds to be reproved. He knows they're wrong, but he doesn't want it to be exposed. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. I mean, isn't that what we want? We want our walk to be vindicated. We want the light. We want to walk in the light. Now, our deeds were also once evil. But the grace of God called you out of darkness and into the light. And you are now a seeker of light. Look, turn over to your neighbor and say, I'm a seeker of light. You hate darkness. You hate evil. And you love truth. And you love light. People are presented with darkness. People are presented with light. And they make their choice. This nation, think about this for a moment, friends. I was trembling when I thought about this earlier today. This nation was given a choice. And this nation has made a choice. Do you realize this nation could have been ruled over by the kingdom of light? If America would have repented from top to bottom, we wouldn't be in a recession right now. Oh, we're not supposed to use that word. We wouldn't have this complicated. Isn't God's way simple? Man, woman, boy, girl. End of discussion. No, we've got LGBTQ, and that's five, right? They've added some more to it now, right? It was complicated. I'm still trying to figure out the LGBTQ. Let's see. Lesbian, bisexual, LG, gay. Well, isn't all of it gay? And you know what? If you're going to do that, use your own words. Don't take a word that used to mean joy and pervert it. Lesbian, that's a woman that prefers a woman over a man. Gay, well, what's the difference? You could be a lesbian or a homosexual, either way, right? Lesbian, gay, but oh no, I'm not a lesbian, I'm gay. You're just sick. You need help, you need deliverance. You need to come into the light that your deeds would be reproved. That you'll no longer have unnatural affection. It's the age we're living in. Lesbian, gay, transgender, or is it transvestite? I think it's transgender, right? B, bisexual. That means you don't care. You'll take it any way you can get it. It means you're really perverted. It means that you're a lover of pleasure more than lover of God. It means you're self-centered, selfish. It means that you got a demon. It's not natural. LGBT, transsexual. Well, what's that? That means not only, okay, I'm a man wanting to be a woman, but I'm not content still being a man, so turn me into a woman. Right? So that I can fall in love with a woman. What would you be then? A gay transsexual or... Because now you really are a man wanting a woman. But you've been... It's too complicated. Who searches you at the airport? How are they supposed to know when you don't? Stop the world. I want to get off. LGBTQ, queer. What's that? Why do we need more? Well, I'm not gay. I'm a queer. Oh, excuse me. My mistake. How am I supposed to know? Or is there a badge that you're wearing? Or an ID card? And evidently, you can change your mind anytime you want. Okay, I'm the president. You don't believe that? Well, how do you know? Because I say so. I mean, that's about how much sense it makes, right? Okay, they've added more to that, right? What else have they added to it? Good, you don't know that. That's good. It's too much information. Whew. Just let the light shine. Now, you will be called bigoted and a hater to say that that's wrong. I don't hate any of them. My heart aches. In fact, the facts are there if anybody wants to go and look at it. People that have those operations, a majority of them regret it. Talk about mental illness. You're not even sure of what side of the human... And now we want, before a child knows anything about gender, now we want to make it optional to them. Whew. Somebody's got an agenda here. So by the choice of this nation, the spiritual powers of darkness continue to rule and to reign, which will result in this nation smoldering one day from coast to coast. You know why it's going to smolder from coast to coast? Because the demons that are ruling this nation are going to bring it on themselves. They're going to upset some other demons from another nation and get what's coming to them. Right? But we could have, as a nation, repented. We could have turned to the Lord. We were sent the Elijah ministry. I'm sorry, I can't get off of this. Do you realize? I mean, I was born in 1960. And every year that went by in my childhood, I saw America declining. And I wasn't privileged like some of you to know the message. I had no explanation for, you know, here I'm being taught, here's the standard, and the standard's, here's the standard. I mean, talk about confusing. In my own home, I saw the decline. I saw my parents going from holiness to women's lib and Laodicea. And it was because the book came open and America didn't repent. You must be more sincere. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. But if America would have repented, where would we be tonight? John 8:12. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. John 12:35. Then Jesus said unto them, yet a little while is the light with you. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. While you have light, believe in the light, that ye may be the children of light. These things spake Jesus and departed and did hide himself from them. So Laodicea is an age that is in total darkness. But there's land in the light of Goshen tonight for the elect of God. And friends, I'm so thankful that that pattern is there. You see, in the first Exodus, they could make light. They could make artificial light in Egypt. But whatever it was, when that curse fell, where darkness was over the land of Egypt, that darkness, I can't explain it to you how it was so dark, but that darkness was so dark that even man-made light caused them to stumble and fall. They couldn't see, even with manufactured light. So is it in the last age. We claim to be the most enlightened, and yet this is the darkest hour. And we still have man-made light. And we even have church-age light still. Second court light. But yet people are in utter and total darkness. And they can't find the door. Friends, without light, people cannot discern right from wrong, good from evil. And they are blinded to the door. But the children of Israel, they had light while Egypt was in complete darkness. And tonight, you have light while the rest of the world... Don't take that for granted. If that hasn't broken on you, say, God, help me to see that I'm experiencing something that the rest of the world is blind to. John 12:46. I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. I am privileged to be amongst people tonight that are not abiding in darkness. 2 Corinthians 4:5. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord. And ourselves, your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. And the church says, friends, this light has captured you. And you are walking in it. And it is being projected through you. And now that light is shining out into the darkness. And only those that have eyes to see will see that light and will be drawn to that light. You are the only lights that are left while the lunar eclipse is taking place. Remember the phases of the moon that were shown over the back wall of the church in Jeffersonville when Brother Branham was preaching the church ages? And we look at the Laodicean church age, and it was total darkness. It was a total eclipse, right? So the moon was between the sun and the earth so perfectly that only the moon received that light. And the light that was shining on the world was the light of the sun, just the little bit of reflected light that was reflected from the moon down to the earth from the sun. But the other side of the moon was fully in the light of the sun. I mean, if it's between the earth and the sun, the back side of the moon is enjoying the presence of the sun. So in that same sense, sons and daughters of God are fully illuminated and fully walking in the light of God, and yet the world is in total darkness. What a blessed people you are. So this light captured you. You're walking in it. It's projecting through you, in you, and it's shining out of you into the darkness. And you are the only lights that are left as this lunar eclipse is taking place. Is that the right... Excuse me for a moment. It's a solar eclipse, right? Okay. You don't have to email me. It's a solar eclipse. A lunar eclipse is when the Earth is between the moon and the sun. Solar eclipse is when the moon is between the Earth and the sun. So we're in the presence of the sun in full glory. It's never been brighter. There's nothing between us and the sun, right? But between the Earth and the sun is the moon. And the moon is blocking that light from striking the Earth. So the only true light of the sun that can be seen is through the elect of God in this hour. And some will come to that light, while others will not even know that the light is shining. So I say to you tonight, friends, let the light shine from you in the midst of the darkest of all the ages. We look back and we say, man, thank God I didn't live in the dark ages. It was a lot lighter in the dark ages than it is tonight. They knew right from wrong in the dark ages. They don't know right from wrong in this age. Everything seems right. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? So the word will cause a separation. As the sermon title preaches to us, the word of God calls for a total separation from unbelief. The word will do the separating. If you stand with that word, darkness will separate from you. Oh, but Brother Baker, we love everybody. It's not about love. And we won't speak evil. We're not talking about you going around speaking evil either. We're just saying that you can't fellowship with darkness. If we do, if we tolerate that, then those that we are fellowshipping with will not be able to overcome because they have no light. If the light is not allowed to shine in the church, then let's close the church doors. Oh. I can't tell you how many times, friend, please don't. I love you. Don't anybody get upset. Don't anybody get offended. But from the very first early days that I started preaching and I came into the message, people felt compelled to come. Oh, Brother Baker, so-and-so is here today. So? I mean, if there's a certain need that needs to be addressed, okay, I get that. But that's not why I'm being told. It's like, don't run them off. Don't preach the message. You know, they need to come around for about a year. And then preach it. We've had people that have been amongst us that have slept in church and woke up one day and said, I don't believe this. Well, when did you figure that out? Oh, the one day that I wasn't sleeping in church? I'm not making this up, literally. We must let the light shine. Put another way, bad news doesn't get better with time. If there's any doubt whether somebody's going to believe this or not, time is not going to help. Well, they're going to be scared away by the word prophet. I don't care how long they hang around. I don't care how deep your roots get entangled. If they're going to be scared away by that, they'll be scared away by that. But you want the light. Are you with me tonight, friends? I need to make this point. We think that we're being goody-two-shoes. We think we're being helpful when we say, well, you know, just use some wisdom and just, you know, don't let the light shine. And I can't believe it. We had visitors, and Brother Baker said something about a woman with short hair. And wouldn't you know it, the one day he said it, here's a woman with short hair. And now she went huffing and puffing and went rolling out the door. She would have done it anyway. If she'd have stayed here a year and then we preached it. Now there's a fine line here. We got to be led of the Spirit of God. And you don't preach the whole message to somebody after you first learn their name. You didn't get it all at once. It's too much information. You're not supposed to. But let your light shine. If someone is a seeker of light, they'll be drawn by that light. But if the light's not shining, how are they going to be drawn? And the church says. Colossians chapter 1, verse 13. Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. So if we've been delivered from the power of darkness, why would we want to fellowship with darkness? Darkness has no power over you. You have been translated into a kingdom that's filled with light. All that remains is a translation of your body. So in the kingdom of darkness, there's communication, there's travel, there's a certain language. And in human beings, Brother Branham tells us, there are rays of light or there are rays of darkness that come out from them. A child of the devil puts out dark streaks, and a child of God puts out light. You and I may never physically see it, but it's taking place nonetheless. Let me read you a few quotations here tonight. Can I do that? Okay, in the message Love, Brother Branham says, here it is. A little woman sitting right back this side here. She's wearing a black hat. She's praying for someone, which is her brother. And the brother is an alcoholic. That's right, isn't it, lady? Way back there with the little black hat on. Yes, sir. He has to take sleeping pills to sleep at night. Is he talking to me? That's right. Another thing, he was a Christian once, and he backslid because I see a dark shadow over the man. That's right. Now, do you believe? You believe God will answer your prayer? May he grant it, is my sincere desire. I don't know you, do I, lady? I don't know you, do I? Never seen you in my life. If that's right, shake your hand like this. Was everything of that the truth? There you are. Now you believe. Again, message God's eye. He says, yeah, I see the lady trying to move off of something. It's a chair. And she's trying to get up, and she sets back down. She gets back up again. She's in a room. So he's seeing a vision. It's a little chair like with an arm on it, like a rocker. And she's trying to move out of that place, and she's going toward a window, and she's holding her back, and it's arthritis of the spine. It's in her back. That's exactly right. You're wanting prayer for someone else too. That's your daughter. You believe God can reveal to me what's wrong with your daughter? She's having migraine headaches. That's thus saith the Lord. There's something still pondering in your heart. It's prayer for someone else too. That's your son. And there's a dark shadow over him. You're praying for the salvation of his soul. He's a sinner. He's a sinner. There's a dark shadow hanging over him. That's thus saith the Lord. That is true. Do you believe? If you will, you know something's speaking. That isn't me, lady. You heard my voice, and now that feeling that was on you just a few moments ago has lifted, hasn't it? Between you and I stood the light, that angel. And it's gone from you now. I believe you receive everything you ask for. You go believing, and you will have what you ask for. God bless you. And again, and believest thou this, Brother Branham says, and God, when he sends a great something to the earth, he announces it by angels. We realize that the birth of Jesus and all down was announced by an angel. Now, minor angels will come. Say, for instance, the one that come visit me, a minor angel. Now, if you'll just bear with me here for a moment, I had my reservations about the supernatural series that was put out, and you know, I don't have to answer it to anybody else. I'm led of the Spirit of God, and alarm bells ring and whatever. Sure, it's nice to have things in a chronological order, but there's a lot of stuff in there that's made up, admittedly, to dramatize it, to try to give it some kind of a human element. We don't have to make stuff up, right? But I knew right away when I saw that. I mean, where do you draw the line? I knew right away that if somebody's going to take that artistic license to make stuff up and think that it's okay, that it's going off and it's going to get way off. right? And as I began to read on, I saw that there were misunderstandings by the one that was putting this together in print. For instance, the angel of the Lord that was with Brother Branham and Christ, in his view, is the same. Did you ever think that? Is that what your thought was? Is the seventh church age messenger Christ? Is the angelic, the angel that was sent to the seventh church age messenger, is that Christ? Come on. You're not afraid, are you? Was it Christ? Was the first church age message, the angel messenger that came to Paul, was that Christ? No. There's seven church age messengers. There's seven angels. Brother Branham told you right here, the one that come visit me is a minor angel. I wouldn't mind that minor angel visiting me. I mean, it did some major things, right? But it isn't Christ. And if you get those confused, your picture's not going to come out right. You won't understand when Brother Branham said, he's here. And then he said, I saw that angel move over the, and then I saw the Holy Spirit. I saw the pillar of fire. Well, wait a minute. I thought that angel was the Holy Spirit. It isn't. When he came and stood before Brother Branham and was olive complected, had shoulder length hair, about 7 feet tall or whatever it was that he said, right? Middle Eastern looking. Was that Christ? Come on, friends. That's the angel that was sent to that messenger. And then Christ came down. He descended from heaven, a rainbow over his head, his face shining like the sun, feet as pillars of fire, with an open book in his hand. That's a different angel. That's Christ. I don't know. I can't tell you what that seventh angel that was sent to the seventh church age messenger, I can't tell you what he's doing tonight. But I can tell you what Christ is doing. Because he hasn't left. But there are other angels that are sent to minister to us. So are you with me? So a minor angel, but an angel of light. So, I don't want to take too much more of your time, but I do want to touch on this tonight. A Christian could still have a ray of darkness, a dark streak, caused by sickness. A sinner could have a dark shadow over them. With this woman, the darkness left, and all Brother Branham saw was light. And by that, he knew that she was delivered. When we are delivered, friends, we are turned from darkness to light. And we keep turning until there is no more darkness around us. In Door to the Heart, Brother Branham says, "Do you believe, lady? Are we strangers to each other? We are. If the Lord Jesus will do for between you and I as brother and sister, like God did for the woman at the well, you'll accept it and believe it. That's an awful headache, isn't it? That sinusitis makes an awful headache. That's what you have, sinuitous trouble. See you holding your head like that many times, up above, in your eyes and things, it's very bad. Tried everything, nothing works, but you're believing that you will be healed. Now, here's another thing that you might know that I be God's servant. You want prayer for somebody else that's your son? You believe that God will tell me what's wrong with your son? It's going to take every bit of shadow away from you. He's got trouble with his back, and he's got trouble with his head. And another thing you're praying for his salvation of his soul. He's got a dark shadow over him, and he's shadowed for death, for he's a sinner. That's thus saith the Lord. There's not a way in the world for that to be known outside of God. Is that right? If that's right, if you'll believe that, raise your hand. Now go find it just the way you believed it, and it'll be just that way. God bless you. God bless you, sister. I just want to touch your hand. Now, don't doubt. Have faith. Now, when Brother Branham was saying this and he said, it isn't me, that wasn't the seventh angel that was speaking through him. That was Christ. Again, in Jehovah Jireh, he says, yes, sister, you with the black gloves on and your hands like this, raise up, look this way to me, at me. If I don't quote you your prayer that you were praying, that I heard in another dimension, another world, tell you what you are praying about, will you believe that Jesus heard you? This is his anointing. Who hears a prayer? Christ. You were praying for a bladder condition, and you were praying for a colon condition, and asking God to speak to me, to you. Is that right? If it is, I want you to stand up to your feet just in a minute so that people will know, and turn around to the audience. Do you believe? Don't fear, sister. You're going to be well. Why do I say that? It turns white, a light around you. First, it was a dark shadow. Then that light come down and you accepted it. That same angel that was over there, it went away. Now go believing. Don't doubt. So he said that same angel that was over there, it went away. The dark shadow left. Don't doubt because he will try to come back. Don't doubt because he will try to come back. And the last estate will be seven times worse. But you believe what you're told. If he knows what your past was, surely he knows what your future will be. And look, another thing, that deep walk with God that you're seeking, that's right, it's true. You going to receive that now. Amen. Not reading your mind, just telling you what your desire is and what your prayer is. Isn't that wonderful? That same one's here tonight, friends. In a greater witness, Brother Branham said, now you've come away from here, come from away from here, and you come from a place that's a lot of prairie country. And it was an airplane. An airplane comes up from leaving a prairie country in the back. And it's a city that you come from that's on the prairie. And you've come through immigration. You're from Canada. You come from, I'd say, Regina. Is that right? And your plane come down in a city that sets low near a river. And it was setting on each side of the river. I would say it's Cincinnati or something on that order. But then you come here with an automobile, and it was at nighttime, and the lights, you got mixed up somewhere, and your trouble is, oh, you're with friends. I see that. You're rejoicing with someone. But you've been operated on, and you've had two operations, and the operation in here in the bosom or the breast, and it's cancer. Is that true? Then I seen it turning dark, lady. It must be that you're going to live, perhaps, just, no, here's what it is. You are in need of Jesus Christ. You are not a Christian. You're in need of Christ. Is that right? Why not take him and live? Is that true? You accept him as your Savior right now. Forsake all sin. God lets you live. You're going to live for him for the rest of your days. Come. Almighty God who raised Jesus from the dead, this dying woman standing here on her feet has now come to life. I thank thee, Lord, for thy spirit that makes her well. And God, I pray that you'll take all sin and make and everything from her. And may she go to her home happy, rejoicing, and completely well. I ask this sickness to leave her body in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. My sister, you're returning a different person. You are a Christian now. Your sins are forgiven. With all my heart, I believe that you'll live for its light. Amen. Real light that's around you now where I'm standing. And I believe you're going to be all right. You feel that too, don't you? Yes, ma'am. You are a Christian and living for Christ now. Just a moment in time, friends. God bless you. God bless you. Darkness, light. Darkness, light. Darkness, light. So, Brother Branham, according to him, when you accept light, you're a Christian. For he is light. Walk up a sinner, and then walk away a sister to Elijah, a Christian. She's now walking in light and not in darkness. It's that simple. Again, I'm closing here in just a minute. leading of the Spirit of God. He says, you are conscious that you're in the presence of something besides your brother. A feeling of knowing that there's something near you. You are a Christian. I see that you're a Christian. It's turning real light around you. This is real, friends. It's turning real light around you. That means that your spirit is welcoming me. You're not a critic. You've come for help. I don't know you, but something is near you. That very thing that you feel, that real, sweet, humble-like spirit, is that true? Raise your hands to your friends if that's true. Can't you see that, people? Between me and that woman, the light moving, whipping around? Some of you see it. Some of you have seen it service after service after service. And some of you haven't talked to one another. One will tell me, then another one will tell me, and I'll say to them, well, you saw the same thing that sister saw, or the same thing that brother saw. Why can't we all see it? We're not all made the same. But that light is here. And if that light is here, you can't have that light and darkness. You feel that real, sweet, humble-like spirit. Is that true? Raise your hand to your friends if that's true. Can't you see that, people, between me and that woman? That light moving, whipping around? That's the Holy Spirit. That's not the seventh angel. It's the Holy Spirit. You don't see it, perhaps, yourself, but your spirit lets you know that it's there. My spirit lets me know that it's here. I've never seen it, but I sure feel it. Now, that's the thing that heals you. Not me, it's your faith in Him. So imagine these things taking place, friends. And yet people around our ranks walking away and calling Him a devil. Stay with me for just another moment. We are either projecting light from the kingdom of Michael, or we are projecting darkness from the kingdom of Lucifer. There are three realms that are below us. There are three realms that are above us. And every mortal is caught in between. And these realms are trying to influence you. We are now living in the time, the hour, when Judas is showing his colors. Judas sold him out. Judas sent the word to be crucified. And Judas was walking right there alongside the light, and yet darkness caused him to sell out our Lord Jesus. In his reasoning, he expected the Lord to escape. You know, when they went to arrest him, because he'd done that so many times before. And now they would have this silver, the price of redemption, so he thought. But that silver was not going to pay the price for his soul. Judas was trying to manipulate the word according to his own thinking. And when he was seated with Jesus at the Last Supper, he said, Judas, what you've been planning, go do it. Go do it quickly. And Judas was so deceived by his own thinking and reasoning, he thought that Jesus approved of what he did, which he did in a sense approve of it. It was necessary for Judas to do what he did. That was Judas's part to fulfill. But it wasn't a good thing. So imagine, friends, you thinking you know better than the word that's made flesh that brought you that far. Now, if things would have worked out according to Judas's plan, there would not have been a crucifixion. And therefore, no salvation. So much for Judas's thinking. But through reasoning with the word, Judas brought on the crucifixion of the word. So if that's what brought the crucifixion of the word, then that must repeat in our day. The word must be made manifest. It must be declared. It must be vindicated. And then someone must reason with it, which will bring the crucifixion of it. This word must be made manifest, which is then light, before darkness can try to push it out, to squeeze out that light. The final rejection in our day has to come from where the word has opened before them. Judas knew right where to go. And there are those today that know right where to go in the message to try to crucify the word. But the light's here tonight, friends. And darkness falls away where there is light. For those that are walking in the light. You believe the light's in the building here tonight? Of course it is. You're children of the light. You're walking in the light as he is in the light. You're no longer a child of darkness. Thank the Lord Jesus for the light of our day. Let's stand tonight, friends. Kingdoms at war. On the one hand, it's a very serious matter. On the one hand, we've got to be sincere. On the one hand, we've got to stay in prayer. Stay in the Word. Stay in the Spirit. But on the other hand, there's a rest. There's a peace. There's a comfort that you will find no other place. There's illumination. There's light. There's understanding. Friends, if you're filled with the Holy Spirit tonight, I don't believe there's a person, if you are born again of the Spirit of God, I don't believe that it's possible for you to be wondering if it's okay for a man to be a woman or a woman to be a man. You know. It's not an opinion. And you don't need, it's not because we got together and did a DNA analysis or gave you some kind of a scientific explanation. You just know it. Why? Because you're walking in the light. There's something in you that when something is being said that's wrong, there's something in you that rings like a buzzer. A little bell goes off. Something in you that says, you know, that isn't right. And you may not know at that particular time what isn't right about it. You just know that that didn't ring a bell. It's given to you to protect your life. And that's because you're walking in the light. If you weren't walking in the light, you'd say something like, well, that sounds reasonable. Well, I can kind of see that in a way. What other thoughts are there on the subject? What do you think? You know, that makes me want to vomit. Growing up in the denominations, that's all I heard about was what people think. And none of it helped me. Evidently, it didn't help them either. We don't have to think. We have the light. We have the truth. We don't have to wonder. If you have a question, there's an answer here tonight. If you have a need, there's something to meet that need. Because you are children of the light. Children of another kingdom. Children of a literal other dimension. And the light and darkness have no fellowship together. Friends, I suppose, Brother Eli, I suppose it's because I was made for this age, made for this hour. But there's something in me that's been waiting for right to be shown to be right and wrong to be shown and all this wishy-washy muck in the middle. All the hypocrisy to be exposed for what it is. I don't look forward to pressure, but I do look forward to a showdown. Let right be right. Let wrong be wrong. We shouldn't have to walk on eggshells. Oh, yeah, I, on the one hand, and then on the other foot, and then on the other arm. And we should be able to speak the truth. And those that we're fellowshipping with in the light will know that we're speaking the truth in love. Because that's the only reason why we would speak it. It's not to criticize or torment or tear down. We're speaking the truth in love. Somebody say praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I still shake my head, Sister Julie, and I still say, how did I get it? How did I get pulled into this? I was so confused at one time, as all others. And I was seeking light. I just couldn't find it. But then one day that light found me. Knew where I was at all along. You can't find it, friends. It finds you. And when it does, there's no greater feeling. Because he said, Father, all that you've given me, you're going to come. No one can come except I first draw. And all that you've given me will come. I thank you, Father. That's where we're at tonight, friends. I don't look forward to more pressure. I don't look forward to more bad times. I don't look forward to darkness becoming even darker. But at the same time, I do look forward to right being right and wrong being wrong and no compromise. Anybody else feel that way tonight? In other words, political correctness has no place. Oh, you might offend somebody. Well, I'm pretty sure no matter what you say, somebody's going to be offended. But the only one that I'm really concerned about offending is him. Amen. Let's bow our heads tonight. Father, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for bringing us out of darkness and into this glorious light. We couldn't find the light. The light found us. Thank you for making us in such a way that there's something in us that's drawn to light. It's a deep calling to the deep. There's something in us that responds to that. Thank you, Lord, for creating that attribute that's in us that desires that light, that is nourished by that light, that dwells in that light, that wants that light to be manifested. Thank you, Lord, for the desire to do good versus evil, to do things that please you, to seek to do your will and not the will of the flesh or the will of the world. Thank you, Lord, for taking us out of the darkness and into this glorious light. Now, Lord, since you've called us to walk in this light, we ask that you would drive away all darkness, Lord, from our lives. We know that sickness can come upon us, and that's darkness. It doesn't mean that we've done anything wrong. It doesn't mean that absolutely has nothing to do with whether we're a Christian or not, because all flesh is subject to the attacks of sickness. All flesh is dying. But Lord, your word was sent to drive away that darkness. Where light is, darkness cannot stand. Lord, our prayer continually and constantly is when we come together is for the word to examine our hearts, to discern, and Lord, if there's any darkness at all, may the light drive away that darkness. That is our desire. We are the children of the light, and our desire is to walk fully in that light as you are in that light, Lord. And it is also our desire, Lord, to bring as many people into that light as is possible. We believe that it's the best place to be. We're convinced. And because of that, we tell everybody that we can, that ask us to give an account of the hope of glory that's within us. We tell them, come and see. Come and see. Father, may we be guilty of that. Clear up to the body change. May we be not hiding our lamps under a bushel, but may that light be shining, Lord, everywhere that we go. May we be who and what we are everywhere we go. May we not be some way here at church and then some other way at work and some other way in social circles and then yet another way when we go to the beach or whatever it might be. May we be a child of the light wherever we are. For Lord, we're assured that as we walk in the light, as you are in the light, that our sins are taken care of and that we have fellowship with you and fellowship with one another. And Lord, we love this fellowship in the light. We sought fellowship when we were walking in darkness, and it never satisfied. Sure, there were things about it that were because we had a genuine desire for genuine fellowship, and so even a perverted form of fellowship would bring some form of satisfaction, but a lot of times it did a lot of damage as well. But this kind of fellowship, we don't repent of. This kind of fellowship, we don't regret. We're not talking about human fellowship, but we're talking about fellowship in the Spirit, fellowship around your word. And Lord, I might differ from another person in here in this building. In the natural, I might differ as far as night is from day. But if we're both walking in the light, we have more in common than we don't. And what we have in common is what is important. We're both drawn to that light. We both want a fellowship in that light. We both want our deeds to be reproved, to be examined, to be illuminated. We both love the truth. We both want a fellowship with you, which causes us to want a fellowship with one another in you. And Lord, that's what a gift that is tonight to us. I believe, Lord, that there's not a person in this building here tonight that if they were called to walk alone, they would do it. And I mean, without any other human support from another believer, they would do it. But Lord, I'm so thankful here tonight that, and we don't want to take it for granted, that you've connected us with a body of those of like precious faith. Lord, maybe take advantage of it to its fullest. May we draw from one another what you placed in the body. May that light be further manifested amongst us by what you've placed here in the local body. May you bless each and every one, Lord. May each one be encouraged and strengthened. Lord, may it just come to our minds each and every day what a blessed people we are to know the light and to be walking in this light. What a beautiful light. What a tremendous light. Father, you know my heart here tonight. You know that there was a time before this light came across my path. You know that there was a time when I had no desire to live. I hadn't found peace or joy or I found religion. And I think, Lord, I think I was more miserable if I had never found religion at all. I think I would have been less miserable than to come close to the truth and then desire it and look for it and not be able to find it. It was almost like a tease. And Lord, somehow you kept me from taking my own life. Somehow you kept me from throwing in the towel. And I thank you for it, Lord. Because I'm not that same person anymore. I want to live. I'm not discouraged. I'm not a bit discouraged of this message. I'm not a bit discouraged of your word. I'm not a bit discouraged by what you're doing amongst us. I'm encouraged in every way. And I love life now, Lord. And I want to live. And if there's no heaven, if this is all there is to it, when I come to the end of the road, I'll say it was worth it to walk with you in the light. And what a privilege it is to have this opportunity to walk with you. You are a good God. You are a good Father. You are love. You are my satisfying portion here tonight. You are my encouragement. You are the light unto my feet. Lord, you do direct my path. I fully admit, Lord, that there are times when I get up where I can't see light beyond a few steps before me, but it's enough. There are other times when you take me up to the mountain and you let the light shine and I can see a great distance. And perhaps the light will shine and I can look behind me and I can see things that perhaps I wouldn't have seen before. But whether the light is shining way off or whether it's shining on my feet, it's light. and I'm not walking in the darkness. I'm convinced tonight that I'm on the right path, because the path that I'm on is lit up. The path that I'm on, there's light that's shining. And that light is you, Lord, and I thank you for it. But Lord, I would not be content tonight to know that if I thought for a moment that I'm the only one that's walking in that light. I want everyone to have that opportunity. That's our desire. We know that it's the right thing. We know that it's the best thing. We know that it's what the world needs. We know that it's what is really in the deep down the desire of human beings. But we've taken substitutes and we've settled for substitutes. So Lord, I just ask that you use us in this hour, Lord, to be these shining lights, to be the evening time lights, Lord. For when we know that it's darkest just before dawn, and we know that we're living in the very closing hours of the last church age, so we're living in the darkest hours just before dawn. And we know that just as dawn is beginning to break, there's lights. There's evening time lights. And those lights are reflecting the sun that's about to rise. Those lights are declaring, here comes the sun, here comes the sun. Cheer up. A brand new day is about to break forth. The darkness is about to be dispelled. And light is going to shine where darkness once inhabited. May we be those lights tonight, Lord. We're not walking in darkness. We're walking in light. Father, I believe without a shadow of a doubt that the reason why I'm not afraid of the dark anymore, I didn't realize this until just a little while ago. I didn't need to. Certainly I realized that I was born again of your Spirit and you took away that fear. But it struck me here just recently, Lord, of course I'm not afraid of the dark because I'm not in darkness. When I was in darkness, everything was dark. And that's why I was afraid of the dark, because I couldn't be as sure of anything. But even in the light of the day, I was in darkness and I couldn't be sure about anything. But now I'm a child of the light. So why would I fear darkness? And I thank you for that, Lord. And I believe that you didn't do it just for me, as for any of your sons and daughters. I believe you, Lord, whoever will take you at your word, they'll find that this is true. I ask that you'd encourage each one, Lord. I ask, Lord, that if there's any of us that are still not sure of what our place is, and I don't mean, by that, I don't mean that we got to know, have some particular position in the church that everybody recognizes. That's not what we're talking about. What we're talking about is what you put us here to do. What you put us here to manifest. May we be about your business, Lord. May our calling and election be made sure. We know that the baptism of the Holy Ghost positionally places us into the body. Shows us what our position is, our place. But then we must also know what our authority is. What our power is. And what rights that our enemy has. What our inheritance is. That we must walk in it. And I pray, Lord, that that would just become so clear to each and every one of us. May that be our goal, Lord, in the days coming, is for each and every one of us to find ourselves in the vision, to find ourselves in the Word, so that the next person that ever asks us, well, what is the message? We can say to them, well, as far as I'm concerned, you're looking at it. Because I'm in the message. The message was sent to show me who I am in the Word. And I see myself in it. And I'm here to manifest that here on the earth. I had to see it though. It had to be put before me. The vision had to be put before me. And then that vision had to be shown to me in the Word. And now I see it. Lord, may be it unto me according to thy word. Bless each and every one tonight, Lord. May each one be encouraged. May each one be strengthened. And Father, we surely give you all praise and honor and glory. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. Amen, amen, amen. Do you love him tonight? Hallelujah. We'll walk in the light. We'll walk in the light. Oh, it's such a beautiful light. We'll walk where the dew drops of mercy are bright. Oh, shine all around us by day and by night. Jesus, the light of verses up there. Thank you. All ye saints of light, proclaim Jesus, light of the world. That's for us to proclaim. Life and mercy in his name. Yes, Jesus, light of the world. Yes, we'll light up.